Blog Talk Radio.
Well, it is now the 6th, I'm sorry, it's now the 8:30 p.m. hour. Time for Words of Wisdom, Plain and Simple. And I'm your host, Diane Adams, a servant of God. As always, it's an honor and a privilege to come before the people of God as we study the Word of God and we see what the Spirit has to say unto us. It's where the Holy Spirit reveals the truth about God. It's also where we can see the hand of God operating in the lives of his people and realizing that he'll do the same for us. God has a master plan, y'all. His son Jesus was a part of the plan. And everyone that accepts Jesus Christ as their Savior becomes saved, receive the gift of eternal life. And the title of our lesson tonight is, I'm saved, now what? I think everyone in their Christian walk from time to time could ask that question. Many times we think we are pleasing God, and at others we are trying to get it right to do better. But we are saved. Now what? And the scriptures that we're going to expound on tonight, and the character and the author that wrote it, we'll see a life that once saved and then how it grew in Christian growth. Began to be established in his life. And that should be all of our goal, to have Christian growth once we got saved. Time I'm going to play a song, and it's called The Master Plan. And then we're going to have our instrument, Sister Pam, come on and do our prayer. And I chose that song for tonight because we living in a world with so much trials, tribulation, adversity, setbacks, hallelujah, storms, pestilence, anything you can name is roaming around on the world as Satan, seeking who he may devour. This world, this earth, this world of this time is being controlled by Satan. The Bible describes him as the prince of the air. Yes, God is in total control, and yes, Satan's control is very limited. He is also under the power of God, but this world, because of sin, is doing its own thing. You see, sin is collecting its consequences, and sin is roaming and causing havoc in the land. I think everybody can testify to it. It's almost like we're living in a wild, wild west. Everybody doing what seems right in their own eyes, leaning to their own understanding, has thrown love for one another out of the window. But that record let us know that God has a master plan. No matter what you're going through, my brothers and sisters, no matter how you're feeling right now, you can lean and depend on God's master plan that was formulated before the foundation of the world. And he had included each and every one of us to give us an expected end. So as the record says, all I can tell you tonight, hold on. Help is on the way. God's got this. None of this that's going on is taking God by surprise. And God does not make mistakes. He promised to never leave us. He's right in the middle of everything that's going on. So I just want you to be encouraged tonight. And it feels like sometimes no one will encourage you, no matter how much you do and how much you do for others. Sometimes you feel like you're all alone. But I heard a song said, encourage yourself in the Lord. And that's what we have to do, you guys. We have to keep ourselves encouraged in and by the word of God. This world don't love nobody. This world is full of evil. That's why God told us we're in the world, but we're not of the world. God has provided us a kingdom of God, a spiritual realm. And don't get it misunderstood that I'm telling you it's a place here that you could find the kingdom. The kingdom is in your heart. The kingdom is moral standards that is producing your lives when you are saved and do what you're supposed to do. It's a rim. It's a moral rim that God has established for all of his people. And we are being led by the Holy Spirit to truly love the Lord thy God with all our heart, our soul, and our mind. And we learn to love our neighbors as ourselves. We're living in trying times, y'all. And many of us is making it all right. Some people having more and more difficulties than others. But remember, God has a master plan. And all of us is included. And God, they take all of our cares and place it on him, for he cares for us. And we keep holding on to God's unchanging hand and hold on to the confession of your faith, and God will see you through. At this time, we're going to have our prayer warrior come and lead us to the throne of grace where mercy can be found. Sister Pam, I turn it over to you.
Good evening, my brothers and sisters. Good evening, Minister Diane. This is our prayer list for February 2nd, 2022. Diane McBride and family, Anika Drew, Azariah Hurd, Minister Paula Cloud, Vanessa Humphrey, Beverly Ferguson, Florida Kazier, the Bridges family, Shatika Clark, Ayana, the William and Washington family, the Williams and Edwards family, our Wednesday night Bible study, the family of Barbara Bradley, she passed away 2 weeks ago, Gennaro Arcelis, Bridget Jones and family, Jada Porter. Remember the youths. We have to pray for our youths in New Orleans. Pray for the youths all over the world. Pray for our young brothers. Pray for our young sisters. So much is going on. Pray for all those who are suffering from coronavirus. Pray for those that are behind prison walls. Pray for those who are homeless that has nowhere to go. I will bless the Lord at all times, for his praise shall continuously to be in my mouth. Father God, I thank you tonight for life. Thanking you, O God, for allowing us to come together for another Wednesday night Bible study. Father God, we come on this first Wednesday night of February, lift up our brothers and sisters that come asking for prayer. Father, we give you all praise, glory, and honor, because we know that you are a way maker and a promise keeper. Oh, Lord, we ask that whatever their needs may be, we pray that it's in your will, not our will, that whatever they be made standing in the need of, and if it be supplied, let it be your will and not ours. Lord, you say that we must ask. We come asking tonight. Lord, you say seek. I come seeking tonight. Lord, you say knock, and the door shall be open unto you. Lord, we ask that you touch. Oh, Lord, heal, deliver, and set free. In the sweet, holy name of Jesus Christ, amen, amen, and thank you, God.
Thank you so much, Sister Pam, for your prayer. Someone else has pressed the button as well, and if they want to pray, I'll allow it because it's praying time, y'all.
Amen, amen, amen.
We just need so much prayer.
Yes, Lord.
Yeah, we have a lesson, but, you know, we need the prayers to change things.
Yes.
So I'm going to press the mic for Minister Cloud. Your button is pressed.
Dear Heavenly Father, sweet Holy Spirit, Spirit of the living God, who bring things to our remembrance. Lord, you're the one that created this world. With one word, you created this world. Lord, you created the heavens and the earth. Lord, we come before you as humble as we know how, asking for discernment. Lord, let us get a deeper knowledge of you. Lord, let us be stable and not astray. Lord, allow us to go forward and not backwards. Lord, your word is alive and it's new every time we read it and hear it. Lord, we come seeking. Lord, we come knocking. Let the doors be open unto us. Lord, we pray the Holy Spirit will reveal to us the meaning of this word that's coming forth on tonight, and that it would amaze us with understanding. Lord, let your Holy Spirit speak through the messenger, which you have placed in her heart. Now, Lord, let us receive this message that God has sent so that we can say like Peter, the glory be the glory forevermore. It is in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen, and thank God.
Thank you so much, Minister Paula. If there's someone else who would like to pray, if God is putting it on your heart to pray, I'll open your mic and you could go through the airwaves. It's praying time, y'all. This world is full with so much turmoil. And God has given us the tool of prayer. Prayer unlocked the doors to many situations. Prayer can turn things around. So if anyone else would like to pray, you can press your one button and I'll open your mic. If not, we're going to go into our lesson tonight. Our lesson tonight is called I'm Saved, Now What? I'm Saved, Now What? And I guess if I answer the question, I would say that we are striving for Christian growth. We're coming from 2 Peter 3:10-18. You know, many times people are saved. And if you truly saved, you receive the gift of salvation. And no matter how you handle that gift, you're saved. But we all should want to grow in the things of God, in the knowledge of God, in the wisdom of God, because that's what helps us to be the better Christian. We shouldn't be all right with where we were in our Christian walk 10 years ago. Come on, y'all, no growth. We shouldn't be 50, 60, and 70 years old and don't know the Bible has 66 books. We shouldn't be where we were when we got started. You see, change is still going to take place if you grow or not. But I come to tell you tonight, change is inevitable, but growth is an option. You know, plenty of times in life, we look at people and we say they're immature because they haven't grown in knowledge. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And that's the same way it is for a Christian that haven't grown since they received their salvation. Come on, y'all. If they had a little child that came in my house right now and a child was 7 or 8 years old and the child was crawling on the ground, you probably immediately would realize that something is wrong with that child. Well, I want you to know that's the same if you haven't grown, you haven't studied, you haven't prayed. And I'm not telling you the more you grow, you're going to get perfect or you're going to reach perfection. God knew we wouldn't be perfect. That's why this Christian walk is a journey. It's an opportunity to take what God has given you and to use it and to grow in the things of God. And I've almost used my time for the background, but I'm going to go through it because the Holy Ghost got this. You see, when we read the scriptures or study the Bible, you should ask what God is saying to me and why. Who wrote it and why? And how can I apply it in my life? They have a lot of people read a scripture a day or read a chapter a day or read a book a day. But what are you doing with what you read? The Bible says people who not meditating and concentrating and having a design going in with the Holy Spirit, the scriptures say they'll be ever learning, but they'll never come into the true knowledge of God. So many people know of God, but not all people of God, but some people truly don't know God. You see, the Bible is God himself speaking to us. And he uses everything that he created to reveal what he would like us to do and how he would like us to do it. So if you don't read the Bible, you're not getting your instructions, your daily instruction for daily living. You're not taking the word of God as a belt around your waist to hold everything together, to be your moral compass to God and lead you into all righteousness and truth. You see, God gave examples so we can gain and not lose and use the mistakes of others to walk away. You see, when Peter wrote the book of 2 Peter, it was several years after his first encounter with Jesus. This was the last known writing of Peter, and not long after he was martyred for his strong conviction for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Peter was the one that Jesus said, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it," Matthew 6 and 18. You see, but if we look at the life of Peter, we will realize that Peter was a piece of work. You see, there's a scripture in the Bible tells us that while we were yet in our sin, Jesus came and took us in. So here we see it's no different from Peter. Peter was doing what he was doing and liking what he was doing. And remember, Peter didn't go looking for God. Jesus came looking for Peter, and that's how he did with us. He didn't wait till he decided and got clean and start walking a straight, narrow road. You see, Jesus went to Peter and invited Peter in, and Peter went immediately. But if you look at the life of Peter, you realize that Peter was enthusiastic. He was very strong-willed. He was impulsive and at times arrogant and at other times very cocky. But with all his strength, Peter had several failures in his life. You see, if you look at the word of God, you see that Peter was the one that rebuked Jesus when he told disciples that he would suffer, be killed, then crucified, but in 3 days he would rise. You see, Jesus wasn't keeping them in the dark. He was always telling the disciples as he was walking with them 3 years, you know, it's going to come to a time when I got to go. And he told them, I'm going to suffer, I'm going to be killed, and then crucified. He said, but in 3 days I'll rise. See, Peter was the one that cut the soldier ear off and thought he was right when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane and Judas had brought the soldiers to turn him over to them. The soldiers began to take hold of Jesus, and Peter pulled out his sword and he took the man ill. He was standing up for Jesus. You see, Peter was the same one that walked on water. But when he took his eyes off of Christ, he sank. You see, the same Peter I'm talking about tonight that wrote Peter and First Peter. I'm talking about that Peter, one of Jesus' disciples, one of Jesus' man. I'm talking about Peter. I'm talking about Peter who is spoke about in the book of Acts that started the church and ushered in the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about that Peter now. You see, Peter, because of fear, denied our Lord 3 times. You see, but through it all, Peter kept pressing towards the mark for the prize of the high calling in Jesus Christ. All of us, when we got saved, was bathed in Christ, y'all. That's why Paul said, I can't give you no meat because you're not ready. And you still have to drink milk. Come on, y'all. Peter at them times was was growing, but he was still drinking milk. But he kept on pressing. You see, we all fall short of the glory of God sometimes in our lives. But we must do like Peter did. Fell down, got up, repented, and kept it moving. You see, by continuing to grow in grace and the knowledge of God, Peter began to mature. And when Peter sat down and took a look back over his life, do we ever do that in our Christian walk? Sit down and look back to where we was, thank God for where we are now, or really take a good inventory on ourselves? Because many times people have told me, Sister Diane, I'm so sorry that I'm where I'm at. I should be more advanced. And all I could tell them, darling, lady, man, or child, you are where you are, and it's okay. But where you're trying to get to is determined by you. And how fast and how far you go depends on you. God got it wide open for everybody. He don't hold us back. That's why he said the last can be first and the first can be last. That's why he said, I have no respect to persons. See, Peter looked back over his life and he realized that when he rebuked Jesus, he was leaning to his own understanding. When he cut the soldier ear off, he now realized that that battle was not his. It belonged to the Lord, because Jesus said, let them do what they got to do. I've been waiting for this. Come on, y'all. You see, the Lord will fight your battles if you let him. And Jesus picked up the soldier's ear and placed it back where it belonged. You see, when he sank, it was because he took his eyes off of Jesus. And when he denied Jesus three times, it was because of fear. But through it all, the Lord, who chose him before the foundation of the world, continued to mold him into his intended purpose. Shape him, arrange him, and even rearrange him. You see, now Peter know that God has not given him the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. And he should have held on to the confession of his faith. Peter now understand what Jeremiah 29:11 is speaking about. You see, God has a master plan for all of our lives. He is in control, willing, and able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Okay, y'all got that just now? There's power working in us, given by God. You see, we should be confident that he who had begun the work we'll be able to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. We see that the word of God, which give us the knowledge of God, the grace of God, which is activated by faith in Christ and allowing the Holy Spirit to guide us, we see what it did for Peter and will do the same for us. Remember, only what you do for Christ will last. And that's the background for the night. And this is Peter. The scriptures we read, and Peter wrote these scriptures in the end of his journey. He wrote 1 Peter and 2 Peter. And some of our lesson tonight is the last writing that he did. So let's look at it. But the day of the Lord will come. I'm in 2 Peter 3. I'm starting at verse 10 for those who have their Bibles. Hallelujah, y'all. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person are you to be in all holy conversation, meaning all holy conversation, the way you live, the way you talk, and the way you walk, and in godliness, the scripture says, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens shall be on fire, the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Peter is telling us Jesus is coming back, but no man know the hour. And then the question was asked by Peter in the scriptures. While waiting for his term, what matter of people are we to be? He goes on to say that everything we know will pass away. So this lets us know that only what we do for Christ will last. What are you doing with what God has given us to be stewards over? Remember, everything belonged to God. Jesus left, and after he resurrected from the dead and walked the earth for so many days and ascended up to heaven and sat at the right hand of the Father, he told us in John, he said, I go to prepare a place for you. Where I am, you may be also, because in my Father's house are many mansions. You see, Jesus letting us know that heaven is a prepared place for our prepared people. And the earth that we are living in is our preparation ground. So you could ask yourself, I'm saved, now what? We're being prepared. You could ask yourself sometime, what have I done for God lately? And I'm talking about the different areas in your life. I'm talking about your time, your resources, your gifts, and your talents. You see, some people believe that they have time to accept Christ as their Savior. I'm talking about those walking around the street killing, shooting, the ones who are in church but never want to be committed because they think it's too hard. I'm talking about those who say they love the Lord but they never accepted his Son. I'm talking about all of them. They may figure they have time, and others who are saved think they have time to get it right, to do better. Tomorrow is not promised, y'all. We see people dying, I'll say every minute of the day. You don't get to pick the time. The time is now. You see, in the meantime, they lean to their own understanding, making it up as they go. But I come to tell you tonight, you're not afforded the privilege. The Bible said that we'll be ever learning, and many will never come into the knowledge of the truth. And their Christian walk, you know, really and truly, some people you may know, and I'm not judging, but the facts is the reality. Their Christian walk will be called shoddy. I taught new members at my church for several years, and I had people that came in from all walks of life and all ages. And first thing I would ask them if they were saved. And many of them told me I was saved, but I slid back. I backslid it, and I stopped coming to church, you know. But none of them told me they took their heart away from God, or that they didn't love God anymore. You see, they talked about their shortcomings, and we all fall short of the glory of God. And I was able to teach them with the Word of God. That once saved is always saved if you really gave God your heart. You know, now, if they came to church and their boyfriend decided to go up to the front and they just didn't want to be left behind, a boyfriend walking with tears streaming down his eyes, he came to the realization that something is missing. So he began to go up. She just didn't want to be left alone. So she didn't go to meet Jesus. She went up following her boyfriend. And I'm giving you that to see an example of someone who really gave God their heart and really wanted to be saved against someone that's going through the motions. Another thing could be sometimes people, parents, just push them, push them, push them, and they just go up to satisfy their parents. They didn't go up to meet Jesus. So that's the difference of really accepting Jesus and not. If you accepted him with your whole heart and gave your heart to God and you became saved, you're saved. The Bible says the devil in hell can't pluck you out of his hands. The scripture says that once you accept Jesus Christ, you were sealed with a seal by the Holy Ghost. The scripture also says in Revelation, when they got ready to open the seal, no one could open it. And Jesus said, I'm coming back to get all of my people that my Father had given to me and had sealed, and I'm going to present them back to the Father in the day of redemption. The Bible says, whosoever will, let him come. It didn't say go get ready. You see where God, you can really see in the Bible, Jesus took his disciples. Peter was hot-headed. Matthews was a crooked tax collector. Come on, y'all. He saw beyond where they were to what they was going to become. That's a beautiful thing. And that's how God is with each and every one of us. And you may not even know it to where you are today that God started that journey and working on you way before now. He was arranging and rearranging and putting things and working things out together for your good to get you where he wants you to be. And as you grow, you get into the intended purpose that he's saying that he had created for you, and you become in position to be used by God even more mightily. You see, and we're going to go to verse 13. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without a spot and a blemish. Nevertheless, 15, and account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. Even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to wisdom given unto him, has written unto you. 16, as also in all his epistles, telling you everything that Paul wrote in them 13 letters that he wrote, that God inspired and placed it in the Bible. We're trying to give you the information and get it right. He even speak of Paul here. He said also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. He said, come on, let's get it right. He said, there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And what Peter was saying in the scriptures I read above, that everything we know is going to burn with a fervent heat. He's telling you, why set your sights on all of this thing that you could see? It's going to dissipate. It's going to burn up. And that's why we could say only what you do for Christ will last. Because the things that you do for God, God put it on your account. And that's why the Bible even go into about the crowns that's going to be received in heaven. What's going to be placed in your account. Hallelujah. The things that you did. the things that Jesus asks us to do as ambassadors here on the earth. Because everything else is going to go away. Because this scripture tells us that in 13, it says, nevertheless, according to his promise, Jesus says he's coming back. The scripture above this told us everything is going to burn away. And then there's going to be, in verse 13, look for new heaven and new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Therefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found in Christ. You see, we see that God has promised us a new heaven and a new earth and advised us to be diligently grow that we may be found in peace with him. You see, we should understand that God is not slow to give wrath. He is long-suffering. Because, you know, the Bible says it is God's desire that all sorts of men be saved. He is long-suffering. And it is his desire that all sorts be saved and is actively taking part in your Christian growth and your preparation down here on earth. The Holy Spirit is living inside of you, leading you, guiding you, protecting you, and even correcting you. You have to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Peter, he also mentioned Paul. I guess he was saying, look, what I'm telling you ain't nothing new. Paul wrote 13 epistles. He said, but I'm saying it to you now. Remember, this is the last writing that Peter is going to do before he was killed. All right? In verse 17, ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before. Look what he's telling us. We done already learned it. We know what God wants us to do. You know, we'd always do it like we should. He said, beware lest ye also being led away with the errors of the wicked world. If you got one foot in the world and one foot in God, the Bible says you can't serve two masters. They say, if you go and play with tap dance, you know, with the wickedness of the world, fall from your own steadfastness. He said, be careful. You can't have a little bit of this and a little bit of that. There's so many of us. It's not a y'all thing. It's a us thing. Mix the flesh with the spirit. With our conduct. But Peter left us with this message. This is the last writing of Peter. Verse 18 say, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forevermore. Peter's saying, all I could tell you, after all I've been through, they're fixing to kill me now. Because when I heard the word of God and I got saved, I wanted to promote it. And they wanted me to shut my mouth. But I couldn't. He said, you know, he said, I couldn't. And I'm about to die. So I'm going to tell y'all, if I could tell you anything, he said, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory. Hallelujah. Both now and forevermore. You see, therefore, since you know these things, don't continue to be a hearer of the word, but don't become a doer. Stop allowing the word of God to get in your head and stay there. You must submit, obey, learn, and cooperate with the Holy Spirit for illumination and revelation. Hallelujah. So that it will enter your heart. change takes place in the heart where the Holy Spirit dwells. The Holy Spirit is in there circumcising us, circumcising our heart. Not the circumcision that was required of man in the days of old where they were circumcised with man's hands. But we are being circumcised, our heart, taking away the excess, taking away the things that is not necessary. But we have to cooperate. Finally, he says, grow. I'm saved now, but have you grown? Do you even have a desire to grow? You know, there's so many people that believe where they're at is just good enough. They may even have the audacity to tell you why you have Bible study so much, why you keep coming on Wednesday night after Wednesday night. And they'll tell you, all that ain't necessary. God didn't ask you all of that. I said, how you know what he asked? Did you read the Bible? No, but I know God. No, you know of God, the God that you'd have made up in your own mind. Peter's letting us know it's all about growth. You see, Christian growth is necessary for our walk with God. This is the thing. God has done his part by providing us with everything we'll ever need to live a righteous life. We got to walk in it, y'all. The righteousness of God, God has extended to us. God's pure righteousness. When we accept Christ, we can never be righteous. God knew we couldn't get it right. He knew we couldn't get perfect. So he allowed and extended his righteousness towards us. And that's what we have to walk in, that in righteousness that he has given us. God never asked you to do anything without providing first the evidence that it is true and then the provisions to accomplish it. Growing is not as hard as you may think. God will, and it is, and he's doing the work. Philippians 2 and 13 say, let us know. Let us know it's God. Because it says, for it is God which worketh in us. Heard what it said. God working in us. To will and to do his good pleasure. And then it goes on to say, work out your own salvation. But that doesn't mean that you must work to obtain it. The only way we could receive salvation is accepting Jesus Christ. We couldn't work good enough. We couldn't work hard enough. We couldn't study the Bible long enough. We couldn't stay on our knees long enough to receive salvation as a gift from God. So the point is, God wants us to have a desire to grow in him on our own. You know, we already saved. And they say work out your own salvation doesn't mean working for your salvation. But God say work out your own salvation by cooperating with the Spirit. Cooperating with the word of God. Cooperating with things that are right. Do what's right because it's just the right thing to do. God gave two man commandments when he was asked who was the greatest out of ten. He said, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. And love thy neighbor as thyself. See, working out your own salvation, if you seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, all things will be added unto you. That's putting God first. And then if you love your neighbor as you love yourself, you would have accomplished all the laws and all of the things that the prophets was given by God to tell the people to do to please him. So if you do those things, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind, and begin to love your neighbor as yourself, you would be truly working out your own salvation, the salvation you received when you accepted, believed, and confessed unto God and Jesus Christ. That's our lesson for tonight. Any questions, comments, or concerns? And I'm going to leave with this. I want to remind you that the Bible told us, when Peter told us about everything burning up, that's the things in the world, the house, the cars, the money, the banks, the this, the that, the this, the that, the beauty, the go and get, you know, your body worked on. All that's going to burn with a fervent heat. And this world does not love anybody. And we should stop acting like it's our friend. Don't govern your life by the world standard, which are the things of the flesh. You never stop growing. Don't stop growing, y'all. Don't ever stop growing in the word and God's will and God's work that he has for you to do. Hold on, and I promise he will see you through. It's like God said, you accepted my son, and I got the glory. And he could say, well done, because only the things you do for me is going to last through eternity. I encourage you, my sisters and brothers, to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Make Christian growth important in your life. And then you could answer all of the questions that I'm saved. And let me tell you now what. That's it. Any questions, comments, or concerns? Anyone have anything to say about the lesson on tonight? No comments. Well, if that's it tonight, we could have our benediction. If someone would like to read a benediction, oh, caller, a caller, press the button. Caller, you could come any way you would like. Your number is 615.
Good evening, sister.
Good evening, my brother.
Yeah,
I'm here, darling.
I didn't press for the benediction. I pressed before you asked about the benediction. But anyway, I like how you talk tonight. You talk some things that you rarely hear in a setting. One on being saved. You know, people think that you have to keep trying to be saved. If you saved, you know, you talked about growing in grace. You talked about grace, where they say grace is unmerited favor. And it says that it's something that we didn't deserve, but it was granted, so you don't lose that. The Bible tells us where sin abounds, grace even more abounds. And we don't, you know, we are taught that God never leaves us or forsake us, but that God will be with us to the end of time. So as God don't walk away from us, we sometimes walk away from God's righteousness. But that don't take away the gift that's been granted. It just means that you're not operating in the fullness of who you was intended to be, and you talked about purpose. So I appreciate it. The points, and I know I'm probably saying it a little different. In fact, a little different from how you're saying it, but I'm listening to you, and I know the process and everything. So I just want to say to you, Sister Diane, you brought it powerful tonight, and I just pray that what you taught is edged in people's heart and mind. That they get who they are in God and who God is in them. And, you know, because so many people always saying you got to keep trying to be saved. You got to every week people trying to be saved. Every week people trying to be forgiven, you know. And those things, once those things are done, because you talked about, and I'm going to shut up here. You talked about not once you're saved. You talked about once you're saved, once saved, always saved, per se. That's what you say. And so we just have to remember that we are spiritual beings practicing to be humans. We get human down wrong, but we always, as long as we have the breath of life, we have God in us to rule. God bless you. Thank you for the teaching. Powerful. And I'll close there, my sister. Bless you.
Thank you so much, my brother. And it's always so pleasant for me when I get hear the comments of others. You know, I come on Wednesday after Wednesday, and God has given us this forum where we can take the time to fellowship with comments and different things, you know, about the lesson and stuff like that. So it was a pleasure hearing you speak. And then, you know, you say you hope it resonates with the people. That's a part of the, I heard a preacher say one time, he preach every Sunday, and he don't know, you know, how the people receive it. But this is a forum where we have time. You know, usually when you hear a word and you agree with the word, you know, that's when to say amen is in order. You're not supposed to just amen anything. But, you know, just if, you know, they were to press the button and just say amen, you know, that was agreeing with the word that went forth. But I thank you for your comments. Sister Pam, I'm going to press your button because when you pray it, I can't get another prompt from you, and I don't want you to want to be able to say something and you can't. So, Sister Pam, I open your mic only if you would like to say something.
Well, I'd like to say the benediction if nobody else has anything else to say.
All right, I'm going to just ask Minister Cloud if she have anything to say, and I'm going to come back to you. Minister Cloud, I'm just asking if you would like to say something before I go into the benediction.
I enjoyed the lesson thoroughly. Thank you.
You're welcome. When someone button is pressed, if they press it again, I can't tell. So when I did what I did just now, you know, I wasn't just trying to prompt them. But after you, if you know, like Sister Pam prayed and Sister Paula prayed. But since the program was over, if they wanted to make a comment and they pressed the one button, I wouldn't be able to see it. So that's why I opened their mics again. I thank each and every one of you for coming on tonight. I thank God for you. I thank God for allowing me to be able to go before his people. Because it's not about me. And I could tell y'all I'm so far from perfect, and God is still working on me. But God use who he wants, when he wants, and how he wants. And with that being said, I'm going to turn it over to Sister Pam, and she's going to lead us out with a benediction. I love each and every one of you, and I pray for you guys all the time. All the time. So at this time,
hello?
So at this time, Sister Pam, your mic is open.
Okay, the benediction is coming from Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto the Lord. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.
Amen and good night. Amen, everybody. And everybody have a really blessed night. And it is my prayer and my desire that you go in peace. And that God let you have a sleep tonight like no other night you had. That we have sweet rest in what Jesus Christ has already done. and in doing and promise to do in our lives. This battle is not ours, y'all. Stop acting like it. It belongs to the Lord. Go in peace and God be with you. And it is my prayer that God bless each and every one of you really, really, really good. Good night.